Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:07, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Kelly Finley in with you on this Thursday morning. Sean Sullivan will be back very, very soon. Should be back in the studio Monday morning. You know, it's holiday party season coming up. I mean, unless you're me, it's always party season if you're me. But coming up, the Thanksgiving parties, the Christmas parties, you'll need to get gifts, whether it's for your family or coworkers. Let me tell you the best place to go and grab those gifts and maybe a little something for yourself while you're at it. The Cottage Hill Package Store always has a fresh inventory, but also, of course, all the old favorites and, of course, truly the best selection in town. Go ahead and stop by this week. Check out some of their newest adult beverages, and you never know, you might find your new favorite. I know if you're like me, though, it might be hard to believe there could be something out there better than what you're already drinking or the cigar you're already smoking, but Cottage Hill gives you the chance to try hundreds of items in their package store, and they even have that tap up front, so you can try just a taste of maybe the newest craft beer, or go ahead and fill up your cup. Go ahead and get a whole glass of that cold Pilsner. And believe me, you'll want to take one of those beers at least home with you so they have you covered. They can fill a crowler or growler for you if you're taking it in a four or six pack. And do like I've done. You can either go to their Facebook page or sign up for the tasting event emails. That way you know exactly what's going on every week, every night at Cottage Hill Package Store. They have events on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, heck, even Sundays sometimes. There's always a craft beer tasting, wine pairing dinner, or cigar event on the calendar. Of course, we've talked plenty of times about that massive humidor at Cottage Hill Package Store. You don't want to miss out. The best selection and the most fun corner in town, Cottage Hill Package Store at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. 8:08 now on FM Talk 106.5. It's some sad news this morning. And in a Southern California town, a bar where a shooter went on a rampage, and some more information on that with our own Kelly Finley.
Yeah, Dalton, it is tragic news happening overnight. Many of us were sleeping and waking up to this horrific news. Here's the new information that we know. The Associated Press is reporting that the gunman has been identified as a 29-year-old man who deployed a smoke device and used a 45 caliber gun when he opened fire inside that Borderline Bar and Grill late Wednesday evening in Thousand Oaks, which is just north of Los Angeles. We're hearing witnesses' accounts of what happened. It is horrific. A number of students are stepping up from a nearby university, California Lutheran University, and going to the tragic scene and offering rides to students back to the campus. Wednesday, that's when it's a college night at this bar, and that's when they were doing line dancing, country line dancing, having a good time when this person walked in with a black hoodie and started shooting. Witnesses said he didn't say a thing. Mm-hmm. 13 people lost their lives, and that includes the gunman and a sheriff's sergeant also, who lost his life. He leaves behind a wife and child. It is a very sad situation. President Trump has taken to Twitter offering his condolences. We're seeing that people are checking in and marking that they are safe on various social media outlets, so it's important to note that. As far as the sergeant's deputy who was lost, he was a 29-year veteran. Again, he left behind a wife and son. His name, I want to make sure I get it correct, Sheriff Sergeant Ron Helias. He went in and helped save lives, and he's being remembered as a hero this morning. Did want to make sure we told you that. Also this, of course, we're talking about Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the firing of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Protesters are planning across our nation to protest at 5 p.m. today, also here in Alabama. They're protesting in support of protecting Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 election. The protests are coming in response to President Trump firing Attorney General Jeff Sessions and installing Matthew Whitaker as the acting Attorney General, and happened on Wednesday. So when it comes to the protests, events are being planned in Auburn, Birmingham, Dothan, Fairhope, Florence, Huntsville, Montgomery, and Tuscaloosa. There are websites which are set up where people are voicing their opinions. Let's leave it at that. Here's one website. It's TrumpIsNotAboveTheLaw.org. You also can go to act.moveon.org. More than 2,600 people are registered to attend these protests. Again, this is happening nationwide at 5 p.m. local time. And then there's this. The votes have been counted in the Alabama general election 2018. And according to the Secretary of State's office and their website, half of Alabama's registered voters turned out for Tuesday's general election. There were more than 1.7 million ballots cast. There are 3.4 well, I should say there are plus 3.4 million registered voters in the state. So that places the turnout at 49.8%. When it came to the 2014 general election, that turnout was 39.8%. And the gubernatorial race, many eyes were on that one. Governor Kay Ivey, she received more than 1 million votes for 59.5% of the vote. And Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox, he received more than 691,000 votes, and that came in at 40.4%. There were 2,614 write-in votes, and that came in at 0.15%. Secretary of State John Merrill had estimated that the turnout would be between 35 to 40% in that range. This is Kelly Finley with FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Kelly, and good news to hear turnout went so well. Coming up, I've got some more numbers more election numbers, you know, nationwide. Let's see what the turnout was nationwide and also some of those TV ratings. But first, regarding that shooting in that Southern California bar this morning, we do have some audio from the scene. Here is Ventura County Sheriff Jeff Dean talking about it, saying it's a heartbreaking situation all around.
Losing Ron, you know, we go to the gym together, work out together, is horrific and terrible. And it saddens our heart, but there's also parents of those 11 other victims in there that whose hearts are ripped out tonight. And I know there's parents wondering, oh my gosh, you know, what was one of my children in there?
And one witness who's named Tim, no last name, but he was saying he fled the bar as that sergeant who was killed, Ron Helas, as he was going in just before he was shot and killed. Here's Tim saying what situation he was in.
I want to say I'm so sorry for his family. He was a brave man to come into those shots because it was a scary situation for everyone. It really was. And the young kids, they were just having a good time, you know, enjoying themselves. None of them deserve this at all.
And obviously a chaotic situation this morning at that bar. One witness, and Kelly, you mentioned in your headlines that they were breaking the windows to get out of the bar. That some witnesses said the shooter was throwing smoke bombs as he began his shooting rampage. But this witness says she was actually thrown out of one of the broken windows and thrown to safety.
A guy that I know, well, I don't really know him, he was able to throw me out the window. They had chairs and they threw them out the window, and they were able to take me and the girlfriend that I was with, and this got us out the window and carried us right up here, and we were able to get picked up by a guy friend of ours and get back to our cars, and that's how I got to him.
And of course, we're learning more and more on this situation as the morning rolls on, but one witness said he saw a security guard get shot on the scene. Awful story all the way around, and we'll keep you updated this morning from Ventura County, where the Sheriff's Department is continuing their investigation and providing updates.
And of course, President Trump initially an hour ago took to Twitter and posted a message, and he goes on to post another saying, great bravery shown by police. California Highway Patrol was on scene within 3 minutes, with first officer to enter shot numerous times. That sheriff sergeant died in the hospital. God bless all the victims and families of the victims. Thank you to law enforcement.
All right. 8:15 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming back, got your Nielsen numbers for Election Tuesday night. How many people tuned in to the different TV news stations to see the midterm results? Also, some more election numbers nationwide. Turnout, number of House seats flipped, all that good stuff. And you won't believe what MAWS, Mobile Area Water and Sewer Systems, what they pulled out of a sewer pipe. I hope you didn't see this picture, but I'll let you know more about it when we get back.
There's a truck fire inside the Wallace Tunnel westbound right now. WKRG is reporting that.
Okay, appreciate it, Kelly. 8:15, we're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings from FM Talk 106.5 on the way. Thanks, Kane. 8:22 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Hovering around 70 degrees. Fog sort of going away. You know, it was a lot more dense earlier this morning, especially as I was driving into the studios. But maybe keep the low beams on for a little bit longer if you're still driving around town. We've gotten some more numbers from Tuesday night's midterms in. First off, the Nielsen Company released their viewer numbers for how many people watched the midterm election results on TV on Tuesday night. The number they came up with, 36.1 million people watched the midterm election results live. That's 59% higher than the last midterms back in 2014. During President Barack Obama's presidency, an estimated 22.7 million people tuned in during those midterm results. Nielsen said that it was the largest midterm election audience dating all the way back to 2002. Of the channels and how they ranked as far as viewers go, Fox News Channel led the way with 7.78 million viewers. And not only did they have the biggest audience, but they were the first to declare that the Democrats would take control of the House of Representatives. I was watching that night. It seemed like at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. they went ahead and called the House. NBC had the second most viewers with an average of 5.7 million viewers. ABC had 5.26 million. CNN was in fourth with 5.07 million, followed by MSNBC with 4.75 million and CBS at 3.86 million. So politics, lots of people tuned in, but only about, let's see if I can do the math here, only about a third of the people that voted across America tuned in, because the number of people that watched the results, 36.1 million people. The number of people that voted on Tuesday, 113 million Americans. I know, Kelly, you were talking about the Alabama turnout earlier, right around 49% for Alabama. Pretty much the same number nationwide, 49% of the total population that's eligible to vote. That's a record for midterm elections in the United States. And as far as how that breaks down by party, the Democrats had 38% of voters in the preliminary exit poll results. Republicans made up 32%, and 30% responded as independents, compared to 2014, where you had 36% Democrats, 37% Republicans, and 27% independents. And then back in 2016, so the most recent midterms before the, or the most recent presidential election, 37% Democrats turned out, 33% Republicans, and 29% independents.
Love that more people are paying attention to what's happening at the local, the state, and of course the national level, because this impacts you. I mean, you have families, you have friends, you are alive and kicking, you work hard for your money, you want to make sure that you have lawmakers in place and know what they stand for and hold them accountable. So that's good, especially for a station like FM Talk 106.5. We get to keep you in the know.
And it was also a historic night for female candidates. Yep. 110 women elected to Congress. That's a record number. At least 98 women will join the House of Representatives, 84 Democrats and 14 Republicans. 12 women will join the Senate, 10 of whom will be Democrats and 2 of which are Republicans. As far as the money spent, there was quite a bit of money spent in Alabama, but not as much as the other states, but totally nationwide. They're expecting the number of dollars spent for this election to reach $5.2 billion. $5.2 billion. That's a 35% increase from the 2014 midterms. And that includes spending from candidate campaigns, parties, committees, the CPACs, and more than 3,200 outside groups, including super PACs and political nonprofits. They reported spending at least $1.3 billion. That's a 60% increase from 2014. The most expensive race was
Texas.
The one in, actually, it was in Florida.
Really?
Between Democrat Bill Nelson and Rick Scott. Now, I know Beto O'Rourke had about $70 million, between $70 and $100 million spent on his campaign, which he lost to Ted Cruz in Texas. But the Florida Senate race between Bill Nelson and Rick Scott, which is actually still close to be called, too close to be called, they say, that was the most expensive, more than $181 million spent from candidate campaigns and outside groups. And we saw a lot of those here, of course, being so close to Florida, some of those ads.
I should have said that my guess would have been Texas and then Florida, but man, when you crunch those numbers, that's a lot of money, and still they're having to count those votes.
Yeah, they are.
My goodness.
And that's not the only race that's still up in the air. In Georgia, that governor's race, there's still a lot going on there, where you have the one candidate, Brian Kemp, the Republican candidate for governor. He went ahead and declared victory while the Democrat, Stacey Abrams, and this was a heck of a brutal campaign. I mean, going after each other. Yeah. Racial tensions were stoked. You know, people fired up on both sides of the aisle. And then a really close race to top it off. Stacey Abrams, still, she's not accepting Brian Kemp's declaration of victory. She said,
who is he to declare? I mean, as the candidate, but the issue there was the fact that he's able to hold a job in which he is able to be in very close contact with these votes. I mean, the voter suppression conversation has been, you know, once again brought into the headlines because of the situation. It was very surprising that he did not step down from his role and just focus on being a candidate, because there have been other people in other states who have vied for the next job and have graciously stepped aside and allowed, you know, it to not look like that. The optics of that is just not good. And it's unfortunate, because he could be a very honest person and have nothing to do with any type of tampering whatsoever. But the optics of the situation just didn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is the Secretary of State, like
Correct.
You said. As the votes are counted right now, 99% of the precincts reporting, and he was ahead of Abrams by 63,000 votes, just about. He has 50.3% of the vote currently, while Abrams is about a point and a half behind, 48.7% of the vote going towards her. And then Libertarian candidate Ted Metz has 0.9% of the vote. Now, the runoff rules in Georgia... And the runoff would be held on December 4th, I believe, would be the runoff election. Mm-hmm. But the rule is, if no candidate receives 50% of the vote, then there will be a runoff in early December. Right now, with Kemp sitting there at 50.3% and 1% of the votes still to be counted, I'm not sure if he can drop below that 50% threshold, but if he does, they will have to hold a runoff.
Oh,
so
goodness.
maybe a tad early to go ahead and declare victory, but right now the odds are in his favor the way the numbers have been counted. So that's going on in Georgia. We mentioned the Florida race.
Yeah.
But before we go to the break, this is the thing that nightmares are made of.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Wait, before you get to that, may I say mm-hmm. one quick thing? I know I told our friends who are listening before the break about the fire.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to clarify that I was talking about westbound traffic on I-10. You would be impacted. But then again, both sides, because you're going to be looky-loos. But the fire was outside of the Wallace Tunnel. And you have a great listener who has been your on-the-scene reporter telling you more about the vehicle. We know it's an armored truck.
Yeah, and we actually have a couple texters who are keeping us updated on this. Jeremy, who is our Eye in the Sky reporter, looks like he might be in one of those buildings overlooking the Bayway entrance, but he's got a picture of the vehicle fire being put out, and you can't tell from that image what vehicle it is. But Sarah, our on-the-scene reporter, has been texting in this morning. First, she said stop-and-go traffic in the westbound tunnel of the Bayway, and it is because of that wreck. The right-hand lane has been closed. But Sarah reports that it's, and don't hurry too fast to the scene, but a Loomis money truck, evidently, that's been caught on fire. Police and firefighters are on the scene trying to clear up that mess, but a armored money truck looks like is what caught fire there.
I wonder, though, at this time of the morning, if it was empty and on its way to its first run. You just never know. And then when you couple the fog in with that curve on the Bayway, I mean, everything is fair game. Also want to tell you this. The AP is reporting that the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been hospitalized. She's 85 years old. She fractured 3 ribs in a fall in her office at the court, and she's in the hospital right now. She went to George Washington University Hospital in Washington, D.C. early this morning. She was experiencing discomfort. She was admitted to the hospital. Tests showed that she fractured 3 ribs. You'll recall back in 2012, she broke 2 ribs in a fall. She's had 2 prior bouts with cancer and a stent implanted to open a blocked artery in 2014. This information being posted by our news partner, WKRG.
Yikes. We'll keep you updated through the rest of the morning. More Mobile Mornings on the way. FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings in this 8 o'clock hour, Thursday edition. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton.
So we've been talking about the Black Friday sale being put on by GMC at McConnell Automotive. Tell me more. What's going on with this Black Friday sale?
Well, man, it's exactly what it sounds like. But it's just that instead of waiting until Black Friday, GM gave us these deals, Dalton, early in the month. And the cool part about that is we did that huge sell-down sale that we did on, talked about on the radio a lot last month, and it was a huge success. But, Dalton, we still have a lot of those vehicles left. So we're talking about 2018 Yukons, Denalis, things that we've got like Z71 crew cab pickup trucks. And so you can get these Black Friday deals right now, but people just need to, Dalton, go to McConnellAutomotive.com, and they're going to see things like discounts of over $12,500 on a brand new pickup truck. And of course, we're making room for that bad boy brand new 2019 all new pickup truck. So it's a really cool time to shop, Dalton.
That's some good stuff, Mitch. We appreciate it. We'll check back with you soon.
Always. You guys have a great day, man.
All right, you too. That's Mitch McConnell, and you'll want to go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street just east of I-65, and like he said, online, McConnellAutomotive.com. 837 now on FM Talk 106.5, and we have a special guest here in just a second, Rhonda Davis with USS Alabama. We'll talk about the Veterans Day program that's coming up in Daphne, but first I want to run to the phone lines, 251-343-0106, and John from Mobile is on the line. Hey, John, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. Y'all kind of stole my thunder because I was going to talk about Justice Ginsburg breaking your ribs.
We scooped you.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I think the liberals have gone nuts before. Now, I know nobody's talking about this, but the lovely people at Antifa descended on Tucker Carlson's home last night.
Yeah, we discussed that some this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's just somebody, you know, the people at Fox or conservatives have to start, we have to start paying for armed guards at our homes to protect our houses. I mean, I'm asking. These people are out of control, and you won't hear any of the mainstream media.
We talked about it earlier this morning that these people are directing their ire toward the wrong person. I mean, Tucker Carlson, whether you agree or disagree with him, he doesn't set laws, nor does he make, enact laws. So the fact that they're doing that is just unconscionable. And we were talking about how civility is really missing when we disagree upon, different subjects right now in our political cycle.
Yeah, and I believe that this group, John, they go by the name Smash Racism DC. At least that's the account that was tweeting about the protest outside of Carlson's home, or Tucker Carlson's home last night. I think that this is the same group that was harassing Senator Ted Cruz in that Washington D.C. restaurant back in September.
Where's the police? I mean, this is not legal. You can't do this to people. Where are the police? Are they being told to stand down? Or
yeah. Good, great questions, John. And we don't want to see more of this, that's for sure. But who knows with the way the fiery politics on both sides of the aisle. But we see so many protests. I mean, it seems like there's a protest every day now. And then with these now personal attacks are being levied. And they even posted Tucker Carlson's address last night on Twitter. It was taken down after a hot minute, but they did post his address up there and were saying some pretty vile things. Yeah. But we do want to move off of this.
Yeah, because we need to be better. We absolutely need to be better. Again, no matter what side of the issue you're on, the fact that it's freedom of speech, yes, but let the man do his job without inciting some sort of violence.
And we have a day coming up on Sunday that should be bringing Americans together.
Right,
it's Veterans Day, of course, coming up on Sunday. And in Mobile and Baldwin counties, we know how to do Veterans Day. We all know veterans, and we know how to show our respects. And there's some great events coming up. But here to talk about one in particular, Rhonda Davis with USS Alabama. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Good morning. We know when you think of the USS Alabama, I mean, Rhonda Davis, you see her everywhere and for all the right reasons, getting the word out of how we can celebrate our veterans. Many of them, are reaching a certain age, and they want to make sure to be able to share their story. So, Rhonda, share with us how we can celebrate our veterans.
Well, of course, on Sunday, Veterans Day, it's going to be the 100th anniversary commemoration of Armistice Day. And, of course, that is the founding of Veterans Day. And that, of course, comes out of World War I. We are going to be holding a ceremony, a very solemn ceremony, at 10:30 on the fantail of the USS Alabama. And we'll be doing a commemoration of Armistice Day and the laying of a wreath. But most importantly, at 11 o'clock nationwide will be Bells of Peace. And this is a bell ringing ceremony that everyone can participate in. We have sent letters out to our local churches. We've asked the universities. So anyone that has a bell, we're asking to toll those bells at 11 o'clock on Sunday, November the 11th, 21 times in remembrance of our veterans, of the Great War, and of our American freedoms and for peace, Everyone remember that. Bells of Peace. 11-11 at 11.
And you make it easy to remember. And it's so important that we know where we come from and we know where we stand as a nation. And, you know, we have a number of veterans that listen to our show. And I know they listen to Scuttlebutt as well. And they're so appreciative that you do what you do.
Well, you know, the USS Alabama's mission is to really serve as our state's memorial for all veterans of all wars and all branches. And this weekend you're going to see some solemn events and you're going to see some celebratory events. Of course, we start the weekend with our annual Battleship Rugby Tournament on our grounds. That will be Saturday and Sunday, $4 park entry fee. You can come and see a different kind of football, but this rugby tradition has been going on at the ship for over 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So we're always happy to welcome our rugby players, and we'll have between 500 and 700 players come. Then, on Saturday afternoon, we have a lovely Girl Scout troop from Bay Minette that's going to be doing a community-wide flag retirement ceremony. So if you have old, faded, torn American flags, please bring them to the ship. Mm-hmm. The Girl Scouts will be doing a formal retirement and then the flag burning ceremony.
And all this information is on your website. I see that
there,
November 10th from 2 to 4 p.m. And it's a very active website. And I bring that about because sometimes, you know, we hear our great guests and we want more information. And when you go to ussalabama.com, you can see all that is being offered, not just for this this weekend, but also throughout the year.
Yes, because, you know, we have so many events throughout the year that celebrate our military history, celebrate our community. So everyone, bring your flags. The Girl Scouts are going to do a great job. Then we'll move on into Sunday. At 8:30, we will have the Battleship 12K point-to-point race coming into the park. Runners are running for veterans services. The entry fee, all the profits go to about 4 different veteran services. So we're expecting 2,000 runners to come into the park beginning about 8:30 on Sunday morning.
Wow.
So they will have a festival in our picnic area that will last until about 11. Again, Sunday at 10:30, we're asking everyone on the field and everyone in the park to stop for our bell ringing. Then we move on to Monday, which is our community events. And, you know, USS Alabama always plays a great role in our city's veterans events. So we'll start the day at 6:45 with the flag lowering ceremony at the Vietnam Memorial. That event is open to the public and free of charge. At 2:45, we'll have Emerald Coast Skydivers bring in the American flag on the field. That is the prelude to our children's events, which is our Veterans Day celebration and parade of flags. This event is a traditional annual event. It features our fourth grade students from Mobile and Bowen County Schools. Among the people on the presentation will be our wonderful Baker High School band will be our host band this year. We will have America's Junior Miss, Distinguished Young Woman. I'm showing my age. Distinguished Young Woman is the keynote speaker. We will have our Patriot of the Year and our Veteran of the Year present, and a lot of wonderful parents, veterans, community leaders. But my most favorite part of that day is we'll have the essay contest winners from last year read their essays. Mm-hmm. Our winners last year, first place was Silas Jackson from Eichel Mertz Elementary School, and we're so looking forward to having him read his essay.
And I was able to do that event last year, and it's so special to see how much these little people love our country.
Yes.
And they get it, you know, and we've got to capture that and keep them forward momentum going so that we can help realize and respect all that, you know, our veterans have done for this country.
Yes, and you know, what is going to be, to me, the cherry on the ice cream sundae, is this year's Distinguished Young Woman is a first-generation American. Wow. Her parents are South African immigrants, and her name is Ariane Morrison. So she will come, and she will talk about her platform, Be Your Best Self. And she has a very unique and different look at the United States. She is a freshman at Harvard, and she is going to be pursuing a career at the United Nations. Mm. And her parents migrated here 22 years ago. They are host families for international students. And Ariane is going to have a very different perspective on what it means to be an American, because her family, of course, came to the United States. They're naturalized citizens, and Ariane being a first-generation American. So I think that is just going to be a lovely story to tell.
I think now more than ever that story is going to be so positively received. I mean, the very fibers of our nation is made up of so many people from various countries that, you know, are now called Americans.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this young woman is so exceptional in so many areas, like all of the distinguished young women. She's living the American dream, her parents' vision of the American dream. She gives back to her community. But what is most interesting is she won $46,000 in scholarship money. So she works hard, she's talented, she's focused, and her message is going to be so positive for those fourth graders to hear.
Rhonda, I have to let everyone know, because you put out so much information for us there. Not a single piece of paper in your hand. That is all straight from your head. You know everything that's going on at USS Alabama. And to me, that means that you're passionate about this, that you know everything that's going on. Veterans Day clearly means a lot to you. But just to let everyone know again, just kind of the roundup of the events that are coming up this weekend, starting on Saturday, the Battleship Rugby Fall Tournament, right, on Saturday.
Yeah, and Sunday.
And then you got the flag retirement ceremony Saturday afternoon, and then the Veterans Day 100th commemoration ceremony and bell ringing on Sunday.
Yes, and then we end the day with a traditional Veterans Day concert at 7 o'clock in the pavilion with the Mobile Symphonic Pops. Free concert, free children's event. We look forward to seeing everyone at the park during the course of this weekend, and we invite everyone to celebrate your veteran and our veterans.
And I love the fact that so many people who have lost their veterans, though, come to these events, and they share their stories of what you and your team are doing at the USS Alabama. So it's just an honor to have you in studio.
Thank you. I love being with you all, and thank you for all you do to support our veterans community.
And more information at ussalabama.com. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Rhonda Davis with USS Alabama.
Thank you.
All right, 849 FM Talk 106.5. We wrap up Mobile Mornings on the other side. Give us a call or text 251-343-0106, and we're coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And this segment of the show brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do great work. If you live in Mobile and Baldwin counties and you have a lot of junk that you don't know what to do with it, well, you'll want to give 1-800-GOT-JUNK a call. Maybe it's junk you don't know where it's supposed to go, too big to physically move, or if it's like an old TV, you're not sure if the screen should be thrown away or not, just call Trey and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll let you know exactly what they're going to do with it. One of the best things about using Trey and the crew, you make your appointment whatever time you want them to show up, and they will show up exactly on time. They don't give you one of those four-hour windows of when they may or may not show up. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. They'll be there exactly when you're expecting them, and the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. I've heard nothing but glowing reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, including just about everyone here at FM Talk 106.5. So one more time, to get a quote and set up your appointment with Trey and the crew, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And as we wrap up Mobile Mornings here in the 8 o'clock hour, go back to the phone lines and talk with Derek in Fairhope. Hey, Derek.
Man, I feel horrible. I'm following up this beautiful thing they're doing at the battleship, which me and Penn love, and here I am with, the daily, you know, bad thing.
if I had a sad trombone, I'd play
earlier, you know, about, you know, protesting Tucker Carlson. There is not a conspiracy. There is a company called Crowds on Demand. What you can do is you can hire them. It's, like I said, this is common knowledge almost. It was on.
And Derek, we're we can hear what you're saying, but there's a lot of background noise. I don't know if you have the window down or.
Sorry, I slid to my desk.
Okay, yeah, if you could roll that up. Yeah, perfect. Now we can hear you.
Okay, so the way that it really made news in the last couple of weeks is that there's a hostile takeover of a company in California, and the guy didn't want to sell his company. And so the opposer, the people that are trying to buy it, hired Crowds on Demand to protest and, you know, at his house. And so they gave the link, all of that, you know, to where you can actually go on their website and see all this. And even their statement was like, we neither confirm nor deny that, you know, we're doing this. So, you know, when you got the protest today and how quickly those came about, you know, I really don't doubt that it is that company doing that. You know, people are getting paid. It's not a George Soros, you know, conspiracy thing. That there is a company that, like, right now, I could hire them and go protest at Sean's house. You know, I want more cheeseburgers. You know, you can, if you got the money, you can do it.
Oh, well, don't give me any ideas, Derek, because I will organize a protest.
Oh,
jeez. Anyway, all right, guys.
Thanks, Derek. And that is disconcerting if these protests. And then, well, you know how protests go, whatever you're protesting, when one person starts something and then a couple more people join in, and then a couple more people join in. It's like, and maybe some people will get this reference, but the old Limp Bizkit music video for a song I don't think I can say on the air, but they're all walking down the streets and more people are gathering. So if you start with whether there are paid protesters or not, and more people join, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, violent things being shouted at people's houses, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of the cable news stations were trying to get away from using that word mob, but I don't know what you can call what else you would call something, a group of people protesting and shouting down other people and getting in their face. That's
I mean,
a mob.
When it's relevant, that's, you call it a mob. But it's one of those deals where you hear a name so much that you become so numb to it. It's like when everyone says breaking news, you hear that sound so much, you think, what, it's not really breaking news. So that's why you have to change the terminology to just in, or, you know, news in now, you know, new to your morning type deal, so that you can get people's attention. But it's unfortunate. It really is. I would just always say that whatever you're doing, you need to be authentic. So if you're going to protest something, you know, believe in it. It makes it that much more believable and for people to respect it. But if you're having different groups getting together and just trying to make the news and trying to just, you know, upset a man's home and his family and a situation, and you don't even believe in it, what is your point? What is your purpose?
Yeah, seriously. I do want to wrap up Mobile Mornings with this. This is something that I would totally be for protesting, and if somebody wants to pay me to protest this, I'll be behind that also. But did you see this tweet, this actually Facebook post from MAWS, Mobile Area Water and Sewer Systems?
Yeah, I did.
I mean,
if you're eating breakfast right now, just
make sure you don't look at this picture while you're eating or right after you're eating. But they posted to hashtag keep water working, we need your help, never use your toilet as a trash can, and never put grease down the drain. And the picture that they posted along with that is a huge... Remember that in London over the summer, they had that iceberg in the sewers of trash? Well, that's what we have here in Mobile. A ball of stuff that shouldn't be in the dirt and the sewers, and MAWS pulled that out. Just be mindful of what you're flushing. We don't want that coming up after big rains.
Yuck.
Laura Ingram Show on the way next. Mobile Morning's back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.